Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Alongside Anita Marks, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. The final preseason game has finally arrived tonight. Giants and Patriots at Gillette Stadium. So we will get into some of the key players to watch tonight, some of the position battles, because after tonight, they will then work on solidifying the roster down to 53 come Saturday, and then they will set the practice squad on Sunday. So certainly we'll get into all of that. We'll get to your calls as well, 201-939-4513. You can't get to a phone. You can follow and interact with us on Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat as we get you set for the final preseason game. And before you know it, we'll actually be talking about meaningful football, Anita. But let's get into some of the position battles tonight. And I think there's a number of positions that guys can make statements within. You look at wide receiver is probably one of the key focal points on offense. Right now there are 9 wide receivers on the roster. Last season on the 53, they kept 6.
Right.
Now we know Victor Cruz is fine. We know Reuben Randall's fine. We know Odell Beckham's fine. You can pencil in Dwayne Harris too. He'll go down as a wide receiver, even though he'll probably see a lot of time on special teams. After that, you know, I think it's very much up in the air. A lot of guys have been productive in practice. A number of guys have been productive in the preseason game specifically, you know, Corey Washington, James Jones, Preston Parker, as well as Jeremy Davis. I think those four in particular, jobs are still up for grabs in terms of those four.
Yeah, and what a great problem to have.
Absolutely.
You know, unfortunately, it's not at the offensive line position. It's not at the safety position. You know, those are obviously the two big concerns for the Giants as they head into their September 13th matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. But I mean, it's been a blessing in regard to the wide receiver play on this roster. And who's going to make it and who's not. It's something I talked about this morning on my radio show, and that is, you know, I think there's such great talent and depth at this wide receiver position that a number of these guys that are going to be performing tonight, I have no doubt will be picked up and be on other squads. Unfortunately, not because of their talent or their ability in regard to what the Giants would need, but just it's a numbers game when it comes down to it. So, and another thing I've been talking about, I'm curious to get your take on this. You know, I really do believe this Giants offense has the ability, Lance, to be epic. I really do. So many things have to work out, though. The offensive line has to give Eli Manning pass protection. Victor Cruz has to not be a shell of himself and suit up and play. And play well. And Reuben Randall, we talked about yesterday, Reuben Randall is the one player that I'm really anticipating to kind of take that next, not a step, but a leap forward in regard to consistency and being a major part of this offense. I think that this team is going to need that in order to win football games this season, because I have such big concerns on the defensive side of the ball that I think this offense needs to be epic.
Well, I think that the offense needs to be consistent. I would agree with you there. I think that.
Oh, I think it's more than consistent. I mean, epic. I think this offense needs to put up at least, and I'll be conservative here and say 28 points, if not 35 points, a game to win ball games. That's how concerned I am with the defense.
Well, they were number 10 on offense last year in terms of the ending ranking. So I don't see why they can't pick up or at least maintain that ranking in terms of at least total yardage. You know, points per game is a different story. You never know how a game is going to pan out. But I think that they could certainly be a top 10 offense in this league with all the personnel that they have. And you would assume that the running game is going to take a step in the right direction, because they finished tied for 23rd in the NFL last season. You know, I think with the personnel they have, with the offensive line healthier, with some new faces in the mix, there's no reason why those numbers can't go up. So if those numbers go up and you finish 10th in the NFL in offense, common sense would rule in that obviously the numbers should improve and that you should at least stay in that ballpark, but you could even move up with an improved running game. So, I mean, I think that they'll get that offensive production. Will there be more pressure on the offense perhaps this season than maybe last season? It really depends on how quickly this defense comes together. If you go back to Steve Spagnuolo's first stint as defensive coordinator, you know, those first two games were very up and down in terms of the points, in terms of the production. Could they follow a similar script? Perhaps. I think it really depends on who's going to be on the field in week one. I mean, that to me is the big question mark right now. Is John Beeson going to be back by week one? Tom Coughlin sounded optimistic, said he was doing better in his press conferences earlier this week. So if you get him back, that's a step in the right direction. Will George Selvey and Robert Ayers both be on the field for week one? You know, that obviously helps stopping the run and getting to the quarterback. So, you know, let's see who's on the field in those first few weeks. And I think that will determine what type of a start this defense gets off to and perhaps how much pressure additionally will be on this offense. Okay. Because that's what you had mentioned in terms of the offense needing to take on more.
Yeah.
Perhaps not just in the early goings, but throughout the course of the season.
I do believe that, you know, and because look at all the levels of defense. Unfortunately, no JPP. I think the interior of this defensive line with the Giants is pretty solid. I like what we see from Jonathan Hankins. I think Bromley actually had a pretty good preseason game number three. I know there's a lot of question marks about him because we didn't get a very good sample size of him last season. You know what you get with Colin Jenkins. I think the big question mark, of course, comes on the defensive ends. Is Damontre Moore, is he going to take a step up? Ayers, Wynn, you know, that's going to be interesting. Unfortunately, the John Beeson knee situation, is this just a little tweak of the knee? Is this something that's going to be lingering throughout the season? I think he's really key because he is an extension of Spags on that football field, especially since you've got Landon Collins, who's a rookie, And we still don't know who's going to play opposite Landon Collins against the Dallas Cowboys. It could be Cooper Taylor. It could be Stevie Brown. We just don't know. Obviously, the strongest part of this defense are your cornerbacks. But is the defensive line going to get enough pressure? I don't care how great your corners are. If your defensive line is not getting pressure on the quarterback, and of course that comes down to those defensive ends pinning their ears back and getting after that quarterback, you give a quarterback, you give Mark Sanchez, no disrespect, but you give Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow 5 seconds to throw a football, you know, he's going to have a receiver that's going to come open. So, you know, I just have some big concerns, and that way, that's why I want this Giants offense to be epic. I'm really hoping and praying that Victor Cruz, all this talk about Victor Cruz and his knee and you know, is it serious, is it not, and is he going to be ready for regular season game one? Everything Victor has been communicating to us is that he hopes to practice next week and get ready for the Dallas game, and he wants to play in the Dallas game. And that's going to be really intriguing because we haven't seen Victor Cruz really go up against an opponent who you would imagine is going to be very physical with him off the line of scrimmage, to see what type of separation he could get, whether it's on a nickel or a strong safety. So, you know, that's going to be important. Reuben Randle, but the addition, I've loved the addition of Shane Vereen. But again, I'll go back. So many question marks on the defensive side of the ball. In order for the Giants to win football games, they're going to have to put a lot of points on the board. That's why, actually, I really like Eli Manning in fantasy football. I think
he's got plenty of weapons, certainly.
But on top of that, I think come the fourth quarter, I think they're going to go spread, no huddle, and I think he's going to chuck that rock in the fourth quarter. I think there's going to be a lot of come from behind games for the Giants to win some football games.
Well, I think the defensive production is going to come down to stopping the run. I mean, you referenced the importance of getting to the quarterback, but if you don't stop the run, it makes it that much more difficult to get to the quarterback, and I think we saw that in the Jets game. So what's going to define this defense this season, regardless of personnel, how does this group consistently stop the run? Because that's going to set up opportunities for the pass rush, and it's going to take pressure off of the secondary. So I think the defense stops and ends with its ability to stop the run this season. That probably is going to be the most telling statistic on how successful this defense will be. In terms of offense, you know, you brought up Victor Cruz and question marks about his health right now. That's why what we started the program off with, Anita, the depth of this receiving core is so important, so that you have other options in case maybe in the early stages of the season everybody's not 100% yet. You know, who else can complement Odell Beckham? Who else can complement Reuben Randle, a guy like James Jones, Preston Parker, who got a great deal of experience? They're going to need some other weapons. And these guys are going to play, regardless of whether or not everybody's healthy, because Ben McAdoo, he likes to move in and out of personnel, and you're probably going to see Shane Vereen line up as a wide receiver from time to time. I think New England did a nice job utilizing him out of the slot. I would assume that the Giants probably going to find ways for him to get out of the backfield and line up as a wide receiver, so this way it keeps the defenses on its toes. So the way they maximize the talent pool on offense, the depth of this receiving core should help this offense be productive, whether player A is on the field, player B is on the field. I think that certainly is going to be a storyline to watch throughout the course of the season. Let's get to the phones. We'll also get to more positional battles to watch. I think the linebackers, there's a couple of battles on the back end tonight to pay close attention to. Wani Unga would be one name. Cole Farron, two undrafted linebackers, certainly keep close tabs on. And we'll also get into some of the battles in terms of the safety position as well as the corner. They did not let go of any corners in the first round of cuts, so there are 15 defensive backs still on this roster. They kept 9 total on the 53 last season, so certainly we will get into that. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's welcome in Nick, who's in New York. You get us going here on Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Nick, what's happening?
Good afternoon. How are y'all?
Doing well, Nick. How's everything with you?
I'm fine. Anita, I agree with you almost 100%. I think the offense has to be stellar in order for this team to be successful, especially early on, because that defense has far too many question marks, and I worry about it not only learning Spag's system, but learning to gel as a unit. And we don't even know who the other safety is, who your slot, who your nickel corner is. The defensive ends don't seem to be generating a heck of a lot of pressure. They're not really setting the edge on the run. You know, the first-string defense still is getting up 20-yard plays after 20-yard plays, which is not a good sign right now. But the offense, in order for the offense to be epic, I think it hinges, as you noted, it hinges on the health of some players, but the offensive line. If that offensive line can gel, can allow the Giants to run the ball efficiently and can have a ball control game, you can keep the defense off the field as long as possible so you don't expose it. But if the offense doesn't come together and sputters, then that defense is on the field more and it's more exposed. And I think, especially early on, you could see the Giants struggling against a Dallas offense or a Falcon offense. And I worry, if it doesn't come together quickly, that the season could be over soon. You know, it could get away from them very quickly. And you know, there's, of the first 7 games, 4 of them are division foes. And you have to at least split those games.
Well, the way the schedule is set up early, I would agree with you, Nick. There is quite an emphasis on divisional games early, which is rare compared to how the rest of the league goes about its business. I mean, you get Dallas off the top, as you mentioned. Then you get Philadelphia October 19th, Dallas again on the 25th. So you're playing a number of key divisional games, and then I forgot Washington on September 24th. So you're going to have 4 divisional games in pretty much the first 7 weeks of the season, and then exactly. You get Washington later on November 29th, and you finish off the season on Philadelphia. So the importance of the early part of the schedule, I think, can't be emphasized enough, given that in order to win your division, in order to make the playoffs, the easiest path is to take care of business in your division.
But if you know, heaven forbid they go 0-4 in those division games, your season's over, because you're not going to be able to make that up, especially when coming to tiebreakers at the end of the season. And I don't think right now the Giant defense could withstand the Philadelphia offense or the Dallas offense, because both of their offenses right now in the preseason are clicking, especially Eagles. I know, Anita, you made a point of it, and I've been watching the Eagle games too. The Eagle first-string offense looks scary.
Yeah, it does.
And I don't think the Giant defense could even compete with them. So the Giant offense will have to be epic and score 35 points in order for them to stay in those games.
Yeah, but also, you make a really, really good point, and it's something that I did not touch on, but you're absolutely right. You know, you want the Giants' offense to be epic, but you also want them to control time of possession, because you don't want this defense on the field a lot and often and get them worn down. So come the fourth quarter, they're just spent. So, you know, yes, you want this offense to be epic, but at the same time, you want those great game plans where you score, you put up 7 points, but you've taken a good 5, 6 minutes, 7 minutes off the clock for time of possession each and every time to give your defense an opportunity to breathe. So, yeah, I do agree with you on that. I think that's an important key as well.
Okay. All right, well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Appreciate the call. And that's why the 14-play, 85-yard drive that they had in the last preseason game is what you'd like to see them duplicate. You know, that's where you're able to milk the clock. You're able to run the ball. You know, we talked about on defense the importance of stopping the run. On offense, another key storyline is the consistency of the running game, because when you run the football, you milk the clock and you put together lengthy drives. So that is certainly a key element as well. The last caller mentioned about the state of the division. yes, a lot of the other offenses certainly are powerful. I would agree in terms of what the Eagles and the Cowboys are going to throw out there, and even the Redskins, depending on what obviously happens with the quarterback situation. But I see a lot of question marks on defense throughout the entirety of this division, Anita. You know, Washington's got a brand new scheme, a lot of new personnel. They just lost Junior Gallette, who they had signed in free agency, who was supposed to help that pass rush. Cowboys are going to be without Greg Hardy, and also Rolando McClain for the first four games.
Who, by the way, now just said because of the ruling, again, Tom Brady, the four-game suspension, Judge Berman nullified it. So Brady, with all expectation, is going to be suiting up and playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers next Thursday night. He'll be available for the first four games as it stands right now. Not sure if the NFL is going to appeal. Reports are that they will. But chances are they won't have an injunction and allow Tom Brady to play while they are appealing this. But nonetheless, Greg Hardy just came out and said, wow. And see, this is the Pandora's box that was just opened up in regard to the decision. And that is now Greg Hardy saying, wow, okay, you know what? I'm going to appeal. Why don't I'm going to appeal? If Tom Brady could win this, I'm going to appeal. And this is why now, because of this decision, it really has weakened, is that even a word? The collective bargaining agreement and the power the NFL and Roger Goodell has. So any player now that's suspended is going to appeal.
Well, but
it's insane.
At this point, though, right now he does have to sit out the first four games in terms of at least the layout of the land. So what I was talking about with respect to the defense is the fact that Cowboys are going to be missing some pieces, the Redskins have a new scheme, and Philadelphia is infusing a number of new players in the secondary. So I think everybody on defense in the NFC East is, you know, trying to see how do we gel in these early stages, which means that this could be an offense-heavy division, where the offense, I think, will have to do the heavy lifting across the board, especially in the early stages of the season, because of so many question marks with the Cowboys, the Redskins, and company.
Don't sleep on this Eagles defense either. I know that there's some really big question marks, but they've made some moves in the off season. I wouldn't be surprised if they start off the first quarter of the season as the best defense as well, the best defense and the best offense in the NFC East.
Well, they had a great pass rush last season. They were top five in sacks.
Yeah, but their secondary wasn't good.
But their secondary is terrible.
But
yes.
they definitely addressed that in free agency and in the draft. They went out and they got that guy that I love, Eric Rowe.
Well, but I'm saying anytime you do bring in young guys, I think there are question marks connected to that because there's no sample size of work in the NFL.
Byron Maxwell,
obviously he's a proven commodity.
Right.
And Walter Thurman, who they brought in, but Eric Rowe has not played in the NFL yet. So,
right.
You know, we don't know exactly how he's going to transition in the early goings. I think it's certainly an improvement over what they showcased last season in Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams, but I still think that it's a question as to how the young guys come along on the back end of the defense. Front seven, I'm sure, is going to flourish because they were top 10, as I mentioned, top 5 in sacks, and that group is essentially back, if not stronger, with some of the linebackers they added. Let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. Eric is in North Dakota. Eric, what's happening?
Good morning. Good morning, Anita. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning.
How are we doing, Eric?
Hey, Anita and Lance, how many receivers do you think the Giants will keep? 6 or 7? And what are the 6 names you think they're going to be? And also, can you still go out there and look for another safety or veteran maybe out there?
I mean, we've been talking about it actually for 2 days now. We're both in agreement that we believe they're going to keep 6, right?
In terms of wide receivers,
yeah.
I believe they'll keep 6.
So Victor Cruz, Odell, Reuben Randall, obviously. Dwayne Harris they brought over, so they're going to keep him, especially on special teams. Preston Parker, and I think Jeremy Davis. Unfortunately, I think Corey Washington, who had a phenomenal one-handed touchdown pass from Nassib the other day. Did you see that?
Yep.
That highlight? It's on Giants.com. If you
mm-hmm.
missed it, check it out. It was awesome. Unfortunately, I do believe out of the names that Giants fans know, unfortunately, I think it comes down to Corey Washington. I think Corey Washington's going to be the odd man out, unfortunately. Tell me if you agree or disagree with me.
Well, I think right now everything's up in the air. I mean, I don't know if James Jones is necessarily a lock, and I don't know if Preston Parker is necessarily a lock. I mean, to me, I could flip a coin between all three of those guys.
That's right.
I didn't
even include James Jones.
Yeah, I feel good about Jeremy Davis making this team, so that would give you 5. The 6th guy, those 3 guys, I mean, I can make arguments for all 3, and you could certainly, you know, show maybe issues with all 3, but I think this game tonight could be a big way in selling one of them to the coaching staff.
Okay, and what about a veteran safety out there? Do you guys think that we might get someone else there?
Well, the Giants always are going to explore opportunities, but they just brought in Stevie Brown. So, I mean, that obviously fills the bill of a veteran safety. I think that obviously if somebody else gets cut, I'm sure the Giants, like they do with any free agent, they'll explore. But I go back to the point, remember, Eric, if you bring in a guy late, he hasn't learned the system, and there's no guarantee he's going to be ready to immediately impact this team in the early stages. You know, Stevie Brown is still learning the defense in a very short period of time. We'll see what he could do tonight. But even if you do want to grab somebody last second, you know, how much time are they going to need to digest this defense? That's why I say the internal options are probably the best options.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much. Go Giants.
All right, Eric. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in.
I know preseason game number four is probably the one that most people do not tune into, but I think this year I think it's going to be pretty competitive. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this game. I'm excited because there's a lot of in those positions where there's depth on this team. There's some good talent, and I think it's going to be a competitive. I think it's going to be a competitive game.
Well, I think there's a lot of roster spots up for grabs, so therefore that makes this competitive. Wide receiver we mentioned, linebackers I think on the back end, there's jobs up for grabs. The last tight end spot, if they keep three, perhaps they'll keep four, but let's assume they keep three like they did last year. Adrian Robinson, Jerome Cunningham, you know, who perhaps emerges tonight. Could that go a long way in determining each other's fate? Trying to think of another position. Cornerback, as I mentioned off the top, 15 defensive backs on the roster right now. I mean, you can name at least half the positions on offense, Anita, half the positions on defense. There's still maybe a final spot or two that I'm sure the coaching staff is maybe torn between a player or two, and this performance tonight could dictate who makes the roster and who doesn't. And that's how deep and that's how competitive this group has been throughout the majority of training camp as well as the preseason. Let's head back to the phone lines here. We check in with Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. And just quick on Brady, you know that backup quarterback for New England's cursing that judge because he was hoping he'd get to be the starter.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
But, right. But it's good for the league, you know, to have the marquee guy in there. But I guess the Jets and the Bills, they're not happy. But what you're saying, I totally agree with time of possession. I've always been talking about the offensive line and turnovers are huge if they're plus in the turnover category, keeping the defense off the field and fresh. Last year, they struggled on short yardage conversions. I think it was the second Dallas game, and they went for it on a fourth down and one, and they didn't get it, and like a third and two or something, they did a reverse to Beckham, and they didn't get it. So when you could pound the ball and get the third and two on the ground, even if you don't ultimately get a touchdown, but if you get a field goal, you keep the offensive, the opponent off the field, your pass rushers are rested. Like Anita said, I think there's going to be a lot of close fourth quarter games. So speaking of the Eagles, I disagree strongly with what Chip Kelly said. He said time of possession is the most overrated stat. It's not important. But I totally disagree. When you have especially a suspect defense, when you could control the clock, add the plus on turnovers. So that's what I'm looking for tonight, like more strong offensive line play. And it is exciting to see the wide receivers. And I'm not that worried about Beeson because Jamal McLean, I think he's a smart veteran. So I'm excited and I'm looking at the offensive line as always. And thanks for taking my call.
All right, Andrew, appreciate the phone call. And as he just alluded to, I mean, certainly a number of position battles to watch. He mentioned McLean. I think the other linebackers to keep close tabs on is certainly Wanyonga, who's had a great story. He's a player that has had to deal with a lot of other issues off the field, injuries, trying to support his family. And he's made quite an impact during the course of this preseason. He actually led the team in tackles in this past preseason game. He actually leads the team in tackles over the course of the preseason. So, I mean, he really has stood out over the course of the last few preseason games, and I think You know, he's pushing some of the veterans, especially when you get to that fifth and that sixth spot in the linebacking core. And tonight's performance, you know, is probably going to be a big step in the right direction in terms of what he can do to try to solidify a roster spot. I know a lot of people are pulling for him because it's a good story, but I think beyond the good story, from an X's and O's standpoint, I mean, he's looked quite impressive as also a special teams player, which is obviously the ideal way and the best way to try to solidify a roster spot. Cole Ferrand also is still on this roster, the undrafted linebacker out of Maryland. I think there's a number of unknown commodities to not just Giants Nation, but the rest of the league that have hung around after this first round of cuts. And who knows, when it's all said and done, we could very well see one of them in that group of six linebackers, assuming they keep the same amount of guys that they did in the last grouping in terms of the 53-man roster. Let's continue away here on the phone lines at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Tom is on Long Island. Tom, what's happening?
Yeah, how's it going? Big fan here.
Well,
listen to you guys like every day.
Perfect. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you have for us?
I just got one thing to bring up. I'm a huge Heinowski fan, don't get me wrong, but with his snaps going down last year, could you see them maybe keeping two tight ends and then maybe asking him to be the third tight end, and if he can't, cutting him and then getting someone who can fill that role?
Well, I think they'll keep one fullback, if that's what you're alluding to. I don't know if they're going to sacrifice a tight end for perhaps the addition of somebody else who could play that position. I think they'll keep three tight ends, and then they'll keep one fullback, which is what they did last season. You know, Heinowski obviously is a key in terms of the run-blocking scheme. He could also catch the ball out of the backfield, but I don't think they're going to say, we'll keep two tight ends, and maybe we can experiment with Heinowski as a third tight end or some other fullback. I think they'll keep one fullback and three tight ends.
All right, and then just one more thing. I think Unga definitely should make the team. I've seen a lot of heart out of him. And he just reminds me of Topeka Mitchell, who was on the 07 Giants and was a key part of making that Super Bowl run.
Well, I would agree. I think he's really stood out during the course of the preseason, Tom. And thanks so much for the phone call. Glad that we were able to get you on here. He's certainly a player to watch tonight, especially when you look at who's going to win that fifth, that sixth linebacker spot. He's got a great story, but from an X's and O's standpoint, I can't emphasize enough. I mean, he's been one of the standout players this preseason. You look at last season, Corey Washington certainly was a standout guy. Unga, he may not be putting up the numbers or winning the eye test in each and every contest, but when you look beyond that, he certainly has been quite impressive from top to bottom. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We'll get back to your phone calls momentarily, but right now we have our very own Paul Dottino on the line as he is in Foxborough covering the Giants-Patriots game, and I know he just chatted with head coach Tom Coughlin. Paul, how's everything?
Hey, guys, good to talk to you. Weather's just marvelous up here. They're all talking about possibility of scattered showers later. Now, since I'm on the sideline, that doesn't make me very happy, but we'll just have to deal with it.
You didn't pack the raincoat, Paul?
No, I didn't.
All right, so Paul, you know, we've been sitting here talking about, obviously, the position battles. Those will be won or lost tonight. Give us an idea who you're going to be eyeing, who you're going to be really keeping a close eye on in regard to wanting to see if they make it on the roster or not.
Well, you know, Anita, I think you've got to look at the wide receivers because there's clearly a glut there. The Giants alleviated some of the glut at running back by waiving injured Akeem Hunt with that hamstring, and he has subsequently been shifted to the IR list. So now they don't have an overload of running backs like we thought they might have. So that's one thing that's out of the way. But the receiver battle is still very difficult to ascertain because you know the four guys you got between Randall, Cruz, and Harris, and Beckham. But you just don't know what's going to happen with those other slots. Now, Jeremy Davis, I think he's in really good shape. But, you know, again, you got to come out of these games healthy, and you have to make sure that you do all the little things that the coach is going to be looking for because he's got the microscope out. You're looking at Corey Washington. You're looking at what's happening with the veteran James Jones, who leads this team with 11 catches and 138 receiving yards in the preseason. So you're looking at him. Even Preston Parker, who Tom Coughlin likes a lot because he's tougher than nails, and he plays specials, and he plays the slot. So you're looking at all those guys very, very carefully tonight. I think that's one position. The other thing you got to look at very carefully is obviously the offensive line spot. It's going to still be a combination of Jerry, Schwartz, and the Newhouse.
Yeah.
Over on the right side. Tom's not committing yet. to who the two starters are going to be opening day against the Cowboys. He says that's still a competition. There's two spots there, and there are three players trying to find the right combination as to who they're going to be. So I would say those are the two areas of most concern or most interest going into this game.
You know, another position, Paul, on offense, which to me is interesting, is tight end, specifically the third versus fourth guy, maybe an Adrian Robinson, a Jerome Cunningham. Last year they kept three. This year I anticipate they're going to stick with that number because obviously they want as much versatility from that position. How much do you see that being a battle between Adrian Robinson and Jerome Cunningham?
I think Cunningham's actually caught the ball better than Robinson has during training camp, at least in my estimation. So I would think he may have nosed ahead a little bit on some of the evaluations. But again, you know, there's another game to be played tonight, and Tom has made it very clear to us that a number of these battles, I mean, I think this is to me, this is on that second level of high interest. It would be the secondary with the safeties and the tight end position. That's like on the second shelf for me tonight. And Tom made it very clear to us in our meeting that a lot of these things are still razor thin. And a lot of these things are going to be decided tonight. And they've got to make those cuts by Saturday. So they still got a little bit of time to mull it over, you know, after they get back after the game. But performances tonight between Cunningham, who, by the way, he's going to get a lot of chances. Tom made it very clear that Robinson, Fells, and Cunningham are all going to get a lot of looks tonight. They know Donnell's on the team, so he's not going to see much more than a cameo. Same thing's going to probably happen with the safeties. They got to find out what these guys can do. Someone has to differentiate themselves.
Paul, obviously the reason the starters, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, are going to get a series or two is because, you know, I'm sure the coaching staff kind of wants to see them generate a solid series together and put 7 points on the board. If that happens in the first series, then you think that's it? They'll shut them down? They won't play another?
Well, you know, usually when you're talking about splitting up a game into four quarters, Anita, you figure the average NFL game gets you about 65 snaps. So if you divide that by four, okay, you're looking at approximately 15 snaps a quarter. I think that's probably the number you're looking at. So now if the Giants go on a big touchdown drive like they did last week, remember against the Jets, they had that huge 85-yard touchdown drive, their best drive of the preseason. I believe that was a 14-snap, 85-yard drive. Well, that would be the equivalent of what's usually a quarter of work. Under that circumstance, I could see the Giants bringing out most of their starters. But I think anything short of that, they'll probably get two full possessions.
Paul, before we let you go, I know you focused on a lot of the offensive battles to watch tonight. You did mention cornerback. Linebacker, to me, is also one to watch, and we've gotten a lot of phone calls over the last few days about Wani Unga because of the job that he's done in preseason games as well as on the practice field. How realistic of a chance does he have to make this roster, and who perhaps is his biggest competitor?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt he's got a realistic chance to make it. He's right on the fringe right now. Tom said he's been up and down. You know, he's done some really good things, and then some that you still need to, you know, he's going to have to work on. So that begs the question, if he still needs to work on some things, if he's a developmental player, then is he better off, you know, spending a year on the practice squad while he develops? Then again, you may not be able to get him there. So that's going to be part of the equation, but I think you have to watch him. He's another one of those guys who's going to have to be under the microscope tonight because this is a live game, live opponents. Hey, you know, this is another chance for him to put some more evidence on tape. Does he play himself onto the team, or does he play himself off of the 53? This could really go either way for him. Now, who are you looking at? Well, let's see. Herzlick's coming off a concussion, but he's practiced some, and I believe he's going to play tonight. Casillas is coming off of a neck thing. You know, I'm not sure how much, if at all, he's going to play. He did get back to practice a little bit at the end of the week. I mean, again, injuries also impact this. It's not just are you necessarily better than the guy next to you. It's sometimes are you healthy and available as opposed to the guy who's next to you. So many factors to consider, Lance.
And certainly a number of storylines now to consider, Paul. I'm curious, did you line up the one-on-one with Tom Brady later tonight yet?
You know, I want to stay as far away from him as possible because there'll probably be 50 or so people trailing every single move that he makes, and I don't feel like I really want to get trampled.
Well, I just check in on you, so you got the rain to balance with trying to avoid Tom Brady and the rest of the media. See, you got a little bit more on your plate than you anticipated, Paul.
Actually, you know what? Let me check the rain thing because I'm faster than any raindrops anyway. I can avoid them.
Fair enough. Paul, good stuff. We'll speak to you later tonight.
All right, guys.
All right. Paul DeTito weighing in from Foxborough, Giants and Patriots final preseason game. And as he mentioned, Anita, certainly a number of position battles to watch. You know, this is not your typical, and you mentioned this earlier, this doesn't feel like a typical Giants fourth preseason game. At least, I don't remember this many battles entering the last game in recent history like we're going to have tonight. And no. I think that's what makes it unique.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're on the opposite side of the ball, you know. The Patriots have to be absolutely ecstatic because it was one of the things I was actually talking about today that I think it was important that this decision came down prior because if the four-game suspension would have held, Tom Brady would have been out for a minimum of 4 weeks. I want to say that they have a bye.
He'd miss five technically.
Yeah.
5 straight weeks.
So I was curious if it came down and they were upheld, would we see Tom Brady get some playing time tonight because he's going to be away from football for so long? But obviously it's not a problem. It's not an issue the Patriots have to deal with. I'm sure they're absolutely thrilled.
Let's head back to the phone lines as we will close out the program with a number of your calls. You can weigh in on Twitter as well, #GiantsChat. Len is in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Len. How's everything with you?
Good. Well, let me just say here that you and Anita and Paul, I tell you, you got a future in marketing. Nobody can hype this game tonight like you guys have. I'm telling you, I see nothing of value in terms of risk reward in this game tonight. You want to put Unga on this team? Put him on the team. You got enough body of work to decide whether you want to put Unga on the team. You want to see what he can do and risk Kennard getting hurt? Okay, go ahead. You want to put Talley on this team? Put him on the team. Talley and Unga make no difference between 6-10, 7-9. It's no difference.
Well, that's
I'm going to track the game tonight. It's not on TV. I'm going to track it on the website, and I'm going to follow it. I mean, it's a Giants game. I want them to win. I want them to beat the Patriots. So I'm going to track the game. But I sit there with my fingers crossed. I hate this fourth game. There's nothing of value in this fourth game for me. Nothing. It's a big risk.
Well, but Len, the starters are barely going to play. So, I mean, the risk that you're throwing out, I don't think is that high. I mean, you threw out a number of starters. Yeah, they're maybe going to get a rep or two, a series or two, rather.
Okay.
But big picture,
all right.
It's
I respect
be the
your opinion.
End.
I was just giving you mine on that. Help me with this. When the dust settles on Saturday night, approximately 650 guys will lose their jobs and will be on the waiver wire. Are the Giants ninth in terms of choice? Does it go back to record from last year, Lance? How does it work?
I believe that's what it does. It goes back to the record from last year. I mean, I know there's a priority order. I don't know if there's like a cutoff date where they mix the order up, but I'm assuming it's still functioning based on how teams finished last season.
Yeah, I think once you get into the regular season, somehow that priority, what you did last year, goes away.
Exactly.
And it's a whole different list. So, hey, you know, I suspect maybe there's going to be some folks out there that we might, you know, we might see. Now, help me again. I know I ask this question every year, and somehow I forget the answer. But if we want to put someone on Saturday, if we want to put someone on short-term IR, God forbid, but let's say we want to put Victor on short-term IR, does he have to make the roster first, and would we have to release, let's say, James Jones, and hope that nobody picks up James Jones, and then we assign that short-term IR designation? Or can that be one of the 22 moves? Can that be one of the 22 moves? Or do you have to be on the roster to get that designation?
Len, it's a good question. I'll look it up to confirm. Off the top of my head, I believe it's one of the transactions involved in finalizing your 53-man roster. I don't believe you have to get the 53. then put Victor Cruz, using your hypothetical, of course, on short-term IR,
yeah.
and then make a
yeah.
new transaction. It's basically, as you're getting down to 53, you say, hey, this guy we're designated short-term IR, this guy we're putting on PUP, this guy goes on IR. It's
yeah,
just
yeah.
one of many moves.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's not a terribly important thing, but it is an interesting whether you have to, you know, put a James Jones out there. And risk losing him when he goes on waivers to a team that may have some injuries and may need a veteran wide receiver, you know, that kind of thing. Does he have to clear through that? And then, you know, and then Victor comes into play. I hope it's not Victor. I was just using him as an example.
Well, you know what? Let me go back to an example from last year. Because
okay.
remember,
okay.
Jeff Schwartz went on short-term IR at the beginning of the season, Len, if you recall.
Okay.
So we actually,
yes.
I mean, we don't have to go through a hypothetical. And I can't remember the Giants
okay.
sacrificing another offensive lineman to
okay.
put Jeff Schwartz on the 53 only to put him on short-term IR. I don't remember that
right.
happening at all last season. So I think you're fine. I mean, it's a fair concern. I think it's a great question. Why should you have to take away a player who obviously you've been working with the entire offseason, just so
yeah.
that based on the mathematics of things, you have to keep a guy only to then put him in a different compartment on your roster a few days later. I don't foresee that being a problem.
Okay. Let me ask, can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
You got enough time for
yeah, absolutely. What
one
do you
more.
Got?
Okay. You know, we got to cut 22 guys tomorrow. Or Saturday.
Well,
yeah,
wait till Saturday. Yeah.
What do we? You know, let's think about trades for a minute. You know, you threw a name out there before, this guy Cunningham, nice player. You know, Cunningham, Lance, as our third tight end, is a waste of time. Now, if you tell me Cunningham's going to start, and you want to trade Larry Donnell for a fifth, I like that move. I like that move.
Yeah, but Larry Donnell's coming off of Achilles surgery. You know, he really hasn't had a lot of playing time this preseason. I don't know what kind of value you're going to get for him right now, Len.
Plus, Len.
Okay,
let me
just say this about Donnell, and I go along with Anita on this because she knows more about these injuries than I do. I don't remember Donnell having an Achilles, but okay.
He did. Throughout the offseason, he battled
okay.
with an Achilles. He missed actually
now,
most of the spring because his foot was in a boot.
Okay. The one thing I was able to pick up the other night in the Jets game, and I was somewhat astonished, although maybe I shouldn't be, kickoff returns. The three guys in front of Harris on kickoff returns, Jay Bromley, Marcus Kuhn, Andre Williams. Has Andre Williams' usefulness this year outlived itself to this team? How about Williams for a fifth?
Oh no,
Len.
No, this team is committed to Andre Williams. They feel that he's the future of that backfield.
What's his role this year, Len?
Before I let you continue, your goal is you do want to win this season, correct? Am I missing your focus? You want
well,
to win
from
this
my
season.
Last phone call, you can
well,
figure
well,
out
well,
I want to win
I
every week.
That, but of course. So Len, here's my counter to you. If you want to win this season, if you then take some of your young possessions only to ship
yeah.
them off to get draft picks, how is that fifth
yeah.
round pick that you acquired, how is that helping you win this season? Let's focus
what
on
is,
this season.
What I'm asking you is Williams' role, contribution to a 10-6 season, going to be blocking on kickoff returns? What's his role?
No, he's a complimentary running back in
yeah.
addition to a special teamer. He's got
well,
multiple
you got,
roles.
You got Darkwa, who has shined. You got Vereen, and you got Jennings.
Yeah, what, but keep in mind, Darkwa has been very good when he comes in the later quarters. Keep that in mind. That's number one. Number two, Andre Williams is the future here with the Giants in that backfield. You've got Rashad Jennings, who has not been able to stay healthy for an entire season. And so the Giants have been taking it, they're being very, very cautious with him. You're gonna see a split backfield between them. You know, this isn't going to be all about Rashad Jennings. This is going to be a little Rashad Jennings, a little Andre Williams, a lot of Shane Vereen in the passing attack, especially when they go spread no-huddle offense. Shane Vereen's going to be in there a lot. You've got three different style of backs here that I think that the Giants are going to utilize, and I think his role is going to be big on offense. I think it's especially in the red zone, Len, especially in the red zone.
Nobody runs harder than Rashad Jennings.
But Rashad,
nobody
but Rashad,
nobody
but Rashad Jennings, but
Lynn,
Rashad Jennings can't stay healthy for an entire season.
Let me throw one more out
real quick.
Okay, since we're on this thing, I'm trying to cut 22 guys on Saturday, all right? But I want something back. Now I'm going to have to give something up. But I'm telling you guys, the people I'm talking about here are not people who are going to make a difference to this team that we're going to go 10-6. These are not the guys that get us to 10-6. Robert Ayers for a fourth.
Len, you love playing fantasy football. I'm going to leave the phone call at that. I mean, we could go around in circles and circles. Appreciate the phone call. I don't understand why he wants to ship everybody out of town here. I mean, these draft picks are not helping you this season. And I disagree with Len's sentiment. Listen, I respect his passion completely, but if you look at some of the teams that have recently won Super Bowls, and even going back to the years that the Giants have won Super Bowls, depth is just as important as your starters. And that was brought to the forefront the last few seasons when the Giants have dealt with some injuries. New England had some guys who were on the practice squad, had some guys that were on the street earlier in the season, including the guy who got the game-winning interception. Let's not forget about him. How about Seattle, the Seahawks, taking some undrafted players and turning them into big-name commodities? So, you know, just because the guy doesn't appear to be an all-star or pro bowler right now doesn't mean that as the season progresses he can't be an impactful player. Case in point, you know, Andre Williams, I thought, flourished as the season went along. He was thrown into a starting role last season. Let's not forget about Devon Kennard, was a late-round pick. Okay, these guys have great value because they're still on rookie contracts. You don't part ways with depth on rookie contracts because it helps you twofold. It helps build up your depth chart, and it doesn't kill your salary cap. So there's not a great deal of value to all of a sudden ship them out of town to then get a future fifth rounder back in return. So then you put that to use perhaps next season, and then you're back to square one, as opposed to Andre Williams, who already has learned the offense over the last 2 years.
Also,
it's counterproductive.
Ayers is not going anywhere. Number one, because the Giants need him as a defensive end. And number two, he tweaked his ankle in pregame warmups. So you're not going to get a fourth for him with teams knowing that his ankle, there's an issue with his ankle now. And in regard to like watching the game, let me tell you something. Unga is he, besides him having a really great story, he's got a great motor, and he is really pushing Mark Herzlick for that one linebacker spot. That's going to be a fun battle to watch. You know, I'm sure Lynn doesn't want to hear this, but Unga just might be that guy that's going to come in and help this linebacking core, especially if John Beeson can't stay healthy. Especially if John Beeson's knee is going to be an issue for the remainder of the season. So, yeah, there are a number of guys on this roster. I'm excited to see what Double O does. Let me tell you something. Double O, to me, has the highest ceiling this year on the defensive line. I cannot wait to see what this guy's going to do, especially the way that Spags is going to utilize him. So I'm really excited to see him play tonight. And he's going to get a lot of playing time. I'm trying to look and see some of these other. So, you know, I do believe it's worth watching. I mean, but maybe that's me. And maybe it's just a hard realization for Giants fans to accept that a lot of these guys that are playing, that are vying for position tonight, are going to be relied upon to help this team win some football games. I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but it's the fact.
Another point I just wanted to point out here before we get back to the phone lines in terms of Len's hypotheticals and draft picks and trades. The last two notable trades that the Giants made, think about what they got in return. They traded Brandon McManus last season to the Denver Broncos. They got a late conditional round pick out of that. And then the Ryan Grant trade that I referenced over the last few days, they got a conditional sixth rounder. So, you know, you're talking about fourth rounders, perhaps fifth rounders. There's no guarantee you even get that high of a pick in return to a player that you're going to ship out of town right now. And here's the thing. If you're another team, Anita, and you are interested in somebody on the Giants depth chart, you know the Giants, the only reason why they need to ship that guy out of town is because the alternative is they're going to cut him. Why would you part ways with a key asset high in the draft if you know you could turn around and tell the Giants, well, why are we going to give you a fourth rounder if you could cut the guy tomorrow and I could claim him off of waivers?
Right.
So good luck going, getting good return in terms of a trade. It's just, I mean, those are the facts when it comes to the salary cap and what the market sets. I mean, that can't be overlooked when you look at this time of the year. Let's head back to the phone lines. 201-939-4513. She's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you on Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff.
Thirsty Live. Thursday.
Yes, Thirsty Thursday. Marketing Thursday, too, by the way, according to Lance.
Since we're marketing that fourth preseason game. Really quick, I do, before we go to the phone calls, I'm curious. This is another discussion that I got on radio this morning, and that is, I'm a really big Tim Tebow fan. And so with the Jets-Eagles game, I'm probably going to be switching back and forth, especially the fourth quarter, because apparently Matt Barkley is going to play the first half and Tim Tebow is going to play the second half because they're competing for the third quarterback spot for the Philadelphia Eagles. So, again, let me preface by saying I'm a big Tim Tebow fan. That's probably why I'm watching. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, enough with Tim Tebow. I've had it. But that game also intrigues me because I love his story. I love his perseverance. I love when someone's told, you can't do this, you're horrible at this, you can't do this, and then he still fights and claws his way back to come down to this game, whether or not he's going to make the roster for the Philadelphia Eagles. I just love that story, so I'm intrigued by it. Is that something that you'd be watching as well, or are you just like, no?
I'll be focusing on the Giants for a variety of different reasons.
Well, but when it goes to a commercial break, I'm going to be switching over to Eagles game.
The Eagles, it comes down to whether or not they think a third quarterback is valuable to maybe run two-point conversions here or there. I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, I still stand by I would want a more conventional quarterback as my third guy. But if you're Chip Kelly and you get creative, you want to run two-point conversions, Tebow is helpful on special teams. I could see the point in keeping him around. But, I mean, Barkley is the more conventional quarterback, so that in the event that Sanchez and Bradford get banged up, you feel good that somebody's going to be able to run the offense and so forth. But you know, Tebow, I think his appeal from a two-point conversion standpoint, that makes it somewhat intriguing. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons why Chip Kelly brought him in the mix. Joe is in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's happening?
Hey there. Hi, Lance. There, Anita. Just tuning in on all you're talking about. First, starting with offense, carrying the team, and then, you know, giving the defense some time. We came a long way from last year. Remember the fourth game? I believe our offense played into the third quarter because they just wasn't playing good at all. So we're coming a long way, and I really think we do need these young guys. We need them because they do have a lot of upside. Guy like Whit Williams, Unga, you know, if he makes the team, Cunningham. But tuning in with just offense and defense there, it's a big thing with special teams, too, to help us to win that. And these guys got to get in there and play this first. You know, the Eagles won lots of games last year. I think they had five or six one of these special teams turnovers last year for touchdowns. And in our last game, we sort of got beat up by the Jets a little bit. And what was it? A turnover? That's a big thing. And special teams, two touchdowns that we allowed there. So I think it is a big thing. And to have these guys here, along with time of possession and injuries, is going to play a factor, too. The Eagles are lucky so far. They have none. I follow them closely. It's here, you know. Heinotsky is he's right here in my area, comes out of my area here in the coal region. And I follow the Eagles, and I'm always fighting their fans. I can't take them the worst, you know. But it's going to be a big thing there for the Giants, you know, with these injuries, because the Eagles did pick up a lot of players, too, that did have a lot of injuries, and they're hoping and praying that they can stay healthy. So that's a big thing. With this waiver wire here, now, did anybody pick up anybody off the waiver wire yet? Do you know?
In terms of the Giants players that were released?
No, everybody passed through the waiver wires that the Giants cut this past week. Everybody passed through.
Oh, and did you say Hunt was picked up for the injured reserve then?
I know there was speculation in terms of media reports. To my knowledge, I don't think the Giants made any official announcement in terms of any players that they brought back. But I did see some of the media reports, if that's what you're alluding to. But to my knowledge, the Giants haven't made anything official in terms of whether or not they've reclaimed anybody, Joe.
Yeah. How many can you put on like that injury list there?
You know, that's a good question. I do not know off the top of my head, to be honest with you, if there's a limit. I mean, I know years where teams have put on, you know, double digits. So I don't know if there's actually a limit in terms of the number of people you can put on IR.
Yeah, I thought you have to put them on your team first, really, and then you could put him on injured reserve. I believe that's true, because people would be just stocking players, you know what I mean?
And that's more of a reason why nothing has been done officially with any of the players that could be coming back, mainly because there are some logistics in terms of the roster.
Really quick, Paul Dottino, he tweeted about 20 hours ago, Akeem Hunt cleared waivers and put on IR. So Paul's tweeting it.
Okay, I mean, like I said, the Giants, to my
Paul
knowledge,
knows this team better than anyone on the planet Earth.
Put anything up on their website or a press release. That's the only reason why I'm not 100% sure if they have made an official announcement.
Oh, so he's on IR already then. We can do that with your own players, I guess. Put him on, I guess, you know.
Joe, I mean, I hesitate to give you a confirmation on that only because, like I said, to my knowledge, I didn't see an official
announcement. Ralph Facchiano's reporting it as well.
I mean, those guys work for the Daily News. The Giants
haven't announced it, and that's what Lance is trying to communicate. The Giants have not made an official announcement, but every other media person, beat writer, is saying that it's not only Akeem Hunt, it's Brandon Mosley as well. So we'll see what happens. They can accept the injured reserve list, or they can reach some type of settlement. So that's where it stands.
This injured reserve list, they can't play all. They're on it for the whole year till next season.
Well, unless they come up with an injury settlement, that's the only way you get off IR. If you remember, I was
glad to see that. Ayers, is he out for tonight?
You know, they haven't given the list in terms of who's not playing. I would say his status is very much up in the air. He did speak to the media on Monday, Joe, and he explained as much as he could in terms of the injury. He said that he hopes to be ready to go, but right now I would say it's very unlikely that he suits up. I'd be surprised if he's out there tonight.
Yeah, one other question there, I guess, with Cunningham and Robinson. Cunningham can go back onto the practice squad, couldn't he?
Well, you can have a max of 2 years logged in the NFL, and Jerome Cunningham has not played six games in the NFL for each of 2 years, so he is eligible.
Yeah, and if they're real close, I was thinking, you know, that's a possibility again because they're real close. Robinson has a little more experience. He has a big upside yet, too. I really believe it. He has the size. I don't know which one. Would you say Robinson is still doing a little better in blocking where Cunningham is better as a receiver?
Well, I think that Adrian Robinson has come a long way in terms of blocking, Joe, and appreciate the phone call. Want to try to squeeze in another caller or two, so thanks so much for weighing in. But I think that Cunningham has a great deal of upside because of his receiving ability. It's the blocking, obviously, that he's a little bit new to compare to some of the other tight ends that have been in the system a little bit longer and have been working on that aspect of the offense. So, you know, there's certainly a bunch of positives for each player. Cunningham, though, based on the eye test, I think Cunningham has stood out a little bit more this preseason based on his performance.
But again, and this is something we talked about a little bit earlier on this week, and that is, you know, because this offensive line is so suspect right now and they're going to need as much help as possible, Fells, out of all the tight ends that are on this roster, Fells is the best blocking tight end. That's why I do believe that we're going to see a very heavy dose of Fells in the regular season. Because that's more of a need for this offense. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, Victor Cruz is ready to go. Reuben Randall's ready to go. Shane Vereen being utilized out of the backfield. I think the tight end position is going to be needed more so on the offensive line with pass protect and being able to run the football than being another receiver for Eli Manning. So I think this is the year for Fells. Again, just my opinion.
Well, and I could also see them using a lot of two tight end sets as well.
Yes.
I think with Fells and Dinellen at the game at the same time. And I think, given your point, the importance of the running backs being able to all pass protect is key as well. Shane Vereen, you know, one of the things and one of the reasons why they brought him in is not so much of his receiving ability, but he is very good at pass protection on third down, which tends to be a down, especially if you're facing long yardage situations where the opposing defense is going to go after the quarterback. Let's go back to the line. Shakes is in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Lance? What's going on, Anita?
Hi.
Doing well, Shakes. How's everything?
Everything is fine. I got a few things, and then I want to end it off with a couple questions.
Sure. What do you got?
All right, here's the thing. And, Anita, you're not one of my favorite people right now, but a couple of things you said I like. Like, I am a Tebow fan as well. He's a winner. That's all I'm going to say about that. and the second thing was, the tonight game is worth watching. It like y'all said earlier, it's so much roster spots to be had, still to be had, that I'm going to be sitting there really tuned in, excited, because I want to know who's going to be on this team. Not just the main guys, but at the end of the roster. So I'm with you on that, Anita.
Okay.
As far as the defense is concerned, I feel like our defense has looked bad in this preseason because Kuhn has been in the first team. It's just evident. He's in there. They run it all up in the middle, all up the gut. When they take him out and they put Bromley and Ellis in, they collapse in the hole. I'm like, what is going on here? What don't the coaches see here? That's crazy.
I think what's happening here, I think the organization really likes Kuhn. So I think what you're seeing is the organization giving them every opportunity to perform better. I think the coaches absolutely see what you see plus more. That's why I'm worried. I'm worried that Kuhn does not make the cut. Because I really like him as a man, as an individual, but no, you're right. He hasn't performed to the best of his ability to make this 53-man roster. That's why he's definitely a bubble guy. But you ask, why is he in there? He's in there because I think the coaching staff and the organization wants to give him every opportunity to improve this preseason, but unfortunately we haven't seen that happen.
Shakes, okay. I think you're reading. I just want to chime in. I'll let you continue. I think you're reading too much into where a player is lined up and who he's working with, as opposed to, hey, if we truly want to evaluate this player, doesn't it make sense to put him in with the starters so that we could see him going up against starting offensive linemen, starting running backs, and so forth? We get a better indication of how far this player has come along, as opposed to putting him in perhaps in the fourth quarter when he's not going up against the same type of talent pool that he would see in the regular season.
Okay. Given good health, though, because Anita was saying how we have to basically score close to 30, more than 30. You said 35 at the most, I heard you say. 35 points a game to win games because of this defense. And I'm down on this defense as well. I've been down on it all season, but I don't think it's that bad. I think given good health and, of course, Kuhn out the lineup, I think we can be a mid-level defense. I think we can get to that standpoint. Now, my question for y'all, my two questions for y'all is this, back to the defensive tackles. Y'all say, you know, we wanted to see more of Kuhn and see if he can actually fit the bill. And I'm with that. I had said that a few weeks. But my thing is, we needed to see more of Bromley and Ellis, and we haven't. And my question is, how come we haven't seen more of them? And my last question is, how many halfbacks do we carry? I know we're going to keep Hanowski, but how many halfbacks do we carry? Thanks for taking my call, y'all. I appreciate it.
All right, Jakes, appreciate the phone call. I think you're going to see a lot of Bromley and Ellis tonight, because I don't foresee the defensive normal starters being in for very long. So I think you're going to get a good mixture of Kuhn, you're going to get a good mixture of Bromley, you're going to get a good mixture of Ellis, because those are the guys battling each other for the back end of the depth chart. So I think that at least answers that. In terms of the amount of running back, Shakes, and I think it's a great question that you asked, and you know, I'm big on trends. Even though one season does differentiate from another, I like to look at what the Giants have done in previous years. Last year, they kept 3 running backs and 1 fullback. The previous 2 years, they kept 4 running backs and 1 fullback. And I think with the way Darkwa has been performing, what he did at the end of last season when he was claimed off waivers from the Dolphins, and what he's done this preseason, you know, you can make an argument that this could be a year that they go back to what they did in 12 and 13, Anita, where perhaps they do keep 4 running backs and 1 fullback. However, I think a lot is going to depend on how the health of this team comes out of tonight, and whether or not there's any new developments in terms of injuries, how that impacts and shakes up other positions. I say that now, but I just want to throw out the caveat. It depends on what happens with the injury bug tonight. If everybody comes out okay and the positions haven't drastically changed, I still think there's a good chance 4 running backs make this roster.
And based the way that Darkwa has performed this preseason, it would not shock me.
I mean, he's got a tremendous amount of value in on special teams. And that's what a lot of callers have weighed in on. you know, special teams can win and lose you games. You got to keep some of those players that you know, hey, he's going to go out, he's going to work his behind off, he's going to be passionate about special teams. That's a big type of upside with respect to that player. Let's close out the program with one more call here. Bill has been holding a while. He's in Phoenix. Bill, what's happening?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Bill. How's everything with you?
Very good. Hey, I'd like to just give my opinion or give props to the wide receiver, Jones. I believe he's a lock to make the team. Basically, because if you do an overview of the receivers, you know, we know Beckham is perfect. And now we got Cruz, but we don't know, we really don't know about Cruz, what he's going to do when the bullets start flying, because he hasn't even been hit yet. So you got to look at him as sort of being, or when he gets hit, is he going to be the same Victor Cruz? That's been a question that we just don't know. And then I look at the other guy, Randall, in front of him. And at the end of the year, he looked like he was ascending. But this year in training camp, we hear nothing about him. In the past, we heard he had problems running routes or fighting for the ball, something like that. But this year, like I heard on one of your previous programs, he has been getting no wink. The coaches haven't been talking him up or talking him down. It's just been a void. And then I look at the other receiver you guys have in front of him, the kick returner. His claim to fame is 33 receptions in 3 years, which tells me he really hasn't done it before. And then I look at Jones, and he's, like, played 2 games. He leads the team in receiving and yards. He hasn't played the first exhibition game. Last year he was pretty good. I heard he had 66 catches with a rookie quarterback. And the year before that he was, I don't know if the primary receiver, but he was a very good receiver with one of the best teams where teams had a game plan against him for the number one. So if you look at that overview, how do you, with the injuries and inexperience, how would you leave this guy off your roster in case one of these other two guys in front of him gets hurt? You need a guy like that.
Well, I agree
that's
with you,
my
Bill.
Opinion.
Bill, I agree with you. I think James Jones has an impressive resume, but I think that they also see some upside in Corey Washington and Paul DeTino. I don't know if you caught him earlier in the program. He mentioned that Tom Coughlin's very high on Preston Parker, who filled in admirably last season. So, I mean, I think there's value for all of the guys that are in the mix. Real quickly, I just wanted to piggyback off of a few of your points. Dwayne Harris, yes, you're right. He only has 33 career receptions. But remember, the big emphasis on bringing him into the mix this year was for him to impact on special teams, more so than for him to be, let's say, a number one or a number two wide receiver. And in Dallas, he was playing behind a plethora of other wideouts, so he didn't get a lot of playing time. That's why he only had 33 career receptions. When you have Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, Jason Witten, and Cole Beasley in front of you, it's hard to move forward on the depth chart unless somebody gets hurt. And Reuben
Randall...
But wasn't
that 33 in 3 years?
Yes, correct. But a lot of those guys that I named have been there on Dallas. It's not as if Dez Bryant just walked into the team auditorium and announced that he was playing this year. He's been there for years. So Dwayne Harris has been on the back end of the depth chart there for seasons, not just one season. You have to take that into consideration. The other thing about Randall, you know, Randall's been dealing with knee tendonitis. So that's a big reason why things have been relatively quiet in the offseason, specifically in training camp. He's been sidelined, hasn't played nearly as much as a lot of the other wide receivers. I think we've got to see a little bit more of him to see where he will fit into this scheme and how he will gel with the other wide receivers. But your point about James Jones, I don't think it's off base. I think he's got a tremendous amount of value. I just think that there's a number of other young wide receivers here that the Giants also see a great deal of value in as well.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, Bill. Appreciate the phone call. Right. Thanks so much for weighing in. And that's going to be certainly a position to watch tonight as we look ahead to the Giants and the Patriots wide receiver. I'm sure that somebody is looking to separate themselves, Anita, from the pack, especially amongst those three guys that we have talked so much about.
Absolutely. Before we do end, I know we've kind of, in a roundabout way, been talking about the whole Tom Brady decision and the 4 games that have been null and void. Judge Berman did rule in favor of Tom Brady and the Patriots. So as we know right now, he's going to start that regular season game 1 against Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Steelers, on Thursday night. But Roger Goodell and the NFL have made a statement So I'm just going to share that with our listeners. This is from Roger Goodell in the NFL. Quote, unquote, "We are grateful to Judge Berman for hearing the matter, but respectfully disagree with today's decision. We will appeal today's ruling in order to uphold the collective bargained responsibility to protect the integrity of the game. The commissioner's responsibility to secure the competitive fairness of our game is paramount principle in the league, and our 32 clubs will continue to pursue a path to that end. While the legal phase of this process continues, we look forward to focusing on football and opening of the regular season." So the NFL and Roger Goodell will appeal this, but it looks like they will not put an injunction down to try to get Tom Brady to continue to not play the first four games. So Tom Brady, with what I'm reading here, is that he will play against the Pittsburgh Steelers, but the NFL and Roger Goodell are going to continue to pursue this. So it's a
legal battle will ensue. I mean,
it's pretty insane.
The bottom line is, with respect to the Giants, it wasn't going to make a difference when it was all said and done anyway, because the Giants and the Patriots don't meet until November 15th. So you knew Brady was going to be on the field regardless, barring an injury. But in the early stages of the season, it appears Brady's going to play. The legal battle will ensue, and who knows when this will all end. It certainly has built up enough drama this offseason, and I guess it's not going away anytime soon. But I guess we can assume Brady is going up against the Steelers next Thursday. Regular season action is going to be around the corner, and then the Giants and the Cowboys kick off a week from this Sunday. Tonight, latest preseason game, Giants and the Patriots. You can watch the game here in the New York metropolitan area on NBC, the local affiliate, and then we will be on the radio on WFAN Sports Radio 66, as well as 101.9 FM. Pregame starts at 6:35. Big Blue Kickoff Live back tomorrow at noon. Anita and Paul will break down tonight's game and look ahead to roster cuts, and then we'll be back up and running next week as we get you set for the Giants and the Cowboys. Appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets as well. I know a lot of you weighed in on Twitter. I'll try to respond to some of you off the air as we get you set for the Giants and the Patriots. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!